When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Spencer and Monique Tepe. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Spencer Tepe was born in 1988 and lived in Columbus, Ohio. In 2012, he earned a bachelor's degree in biology and Spanish from The Ohio State University. In 2017, he graduated from that school's College of Dentistry with a Doctor of Dental Surgery. Spencer found work as a dentist with Stone Creek Dental Care in Ashland, Ohio, before taking a job at the Athens Dental Depot in Athens, Ohio, 75 miles southeast of Columbus. His round-trip commute every day was 2.5 hours. On January 30, 2021, Spencer married a woman named Monique, who was 2 years older than him. Monique had been married before. The couple had no children and divorced in 2017. Court records indicated the divorce was amicable and settled quickly. Spencer and Monique went on to have a girl and a boy. The family lived in a 2,500-square-foot two-story house at 1411 North 4th Street. This house has a detached garage in the rear, which faces an alley. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On December 30, 2025, Spencer Tepe failed to show up at work, prompting his coworkers to contact the police at 8:58 a.m. for a welfare check. At 9:22 a.m., the police arrived at the Tepe family home on North 4th Street. After not getting an answer at the front door or the back door, the officers left. About a half hour later, colleagues and a friend arrived at the house. A man called 911 at 9:56 a.m. and said he could hear children inside the house and thought he heard one of them yell. The caller continued by saying, quote, "But we can't get in. At this point, I don't know if I need to break the door in to get in the house or what," unquote. The police were dispatched back to the house. At 10:03 a.m., prior to the police arriving, a friend who came by the family house called 911 with a troubling update. He said, quote, "There's a body. Our friend wasn't answering his phone. We just did a wellness check. We just came here, and he appears dead. He's laying next to his bed, off of his bed, in this blood. I can't get closer to see more than that," unquote. The police arrived 1 minute later at 10:04 a.m. They found both Spencer and Monique dead in an upstairs bedroom. Spencer had been shot multiple times. Monique had been shot at least one time in the chest. They were pronounced dead at 10:11 a.m. The couple's 4-year-old daughter and 1-year-old son were unharmed, at least physically. The family dog, a golden doodle, was also unharmed. The police were able to determine that neither Spencer nor Monique was the shooter. So this was not a case where one of them killed the other before bringing an end to their own life. An intruder must have shot both of them to death. Spent 9mm cases were found at the scene, suggesting the killer used a semi-automatic pistol. The murder weapon was not located. There was no forced entry into the couple's house. A surveillance camera captured an image of a person walking in an alley near the Tepe family home. The police indicated this individual is a person of interest. The mysterious figure appears to be a man, although there is no way to know for sure. He was wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt and light pants. The man was walking with his hands in his pockets, and at one point either touched his face or pulled down his hood. Maybe he was aware that being identified would be unwise. Initially, the police were looking for any surveillance video from the public captured between 12 a.m. and 9 a.m. on December 30, 2025. Later, they revised the request and narrowed the hours to the three-hour window between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Investigators believe the murders occurred during this time range, although they did not say why they believe that. There have been no reports about anything missing from the house, although one dispatch report included a reference to the 10 code 1041A, which is a robbery report. Dispatch codes can be preliminary, misclassified, or corrected later. The use of this code does not definitively point to a robbery. At the time I am making this video, the investigation into the murders continues. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. The double homicide of Spencer and Monique Tepe is a very mysterious case. There are many unanswered questions. Here are just a few examples. What was the motive for these murders? Who would want to kill this couple? Was this a random attack or were they targeted? A doorbell camera was mounted next to the front door of the family home. Did it capture anything? There was a police camera a few hundred feet away from the house on a telephone pole. Did this camera catch a glimpse of the killer? A sign in front of the house indicated that a security system was installed. People often use signs like this even without an active security system as a deterrent. But if there was a system, why didn't it sound an alarm when the killer entered the house? The police found the family golden doodle unharmed. Did this dog bark at the perpetrator? Maybe the dog did not bark because the perpetrator was known to the dog. Item number two, there was no forced entry into the house, which leads to a few possibilities. The killer made entry through a door that was unlocked. How would he have known the door was unlocked? Was he just lucky and happened to find an unlocked door on the house that he wanted to target for murder? The killer may have had a key. If this was the case, how did he get the key? Was he a close friend to the family? Or the killer may have been let into the house. This seems unlikely given that Spencer and Monique were found dead in an upstairs bedroom. Did one of them let the perpetrator into the house, then return to the bedroom before being shot to death? That doesn't really make any sense. Item number three, the video of the person of interest does not reveal a lot of helpful information. The man appears to be of normal height, normal build, he has a normal gait, and he is wearing regular clothing. Was the video captured before or after the murders? If it was captured before, then it is not particularly useful. However, if it was captured after, the video tells more of a story. Robbery probably wasn't the motive because the man was not carrying anything. He did not even have a backpack or other type of bag. The man was not running, which is consistent with being calm under pressure. Item number four, the killer left multiple spent 9mm cases at the scene, which was extremely unwise if his objective was to escape justice. The cases reveal the type of ammunition that was used and can be matched to a firearm if the murder weapon is ever recovered. Furthermore, the cases could contain DNA or fingerprints. If the killer planned the crime for some time, a revolver would have been a much better choice because it does not leave cases behind. This makes it seem like the killer used a weapon he just happened to own or did not understand the liability created by leaving cases behind. Item number five, it is unusual that a killer would desire to murder both members of a married couple, especially if the couple did not have any unusual romantic connections to outsiders. There is no evidence that Spencer and Monique did. A much more likely scenario is that the killer was only targeting one of them. Spencer was shot multiple times, whereas Monique was shot at least once. The phrase, at least once, could of course mean multiple times, but it is reasonable to believe that Spencer was shot more times than Monique. He was probably the killer's target. Monique was killed simply because she was a witness. Item number six, the fact that Spencer and Monique were killed in their bedroom suggests that robbery was not the motive. The killer knew he was entering an occupied structure. He sought the couple out when he could have easily avoided them. This was not a situation where Spencer came down the steps carrying a baseball bat and the killer panicked. This was a cold-blooded double murder perpetrated by someone who entered that house with a specific intent to kill. This brings me to my final item, number seven. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Spencer and Monique were killed by someone who knew them personally. This explains why the dog barking was not an issue. It also explains why the perpetrator did not need to force entry into the house. He knew the door was unlocked, or he had a key. The motive was revenge, jealousy, anger, resentment, or some other destructive emotion. Spencer was the intended target. Monique was killed to protect the identity of the perpetrator. Despite the mystery created by this double homicide, the killer was not sophisticated. Leaving the cases behind was a risky move. Retrieving them would have only taken a few seconds. It seems likely the police will find the killer after they explore all the people with whom Spencer and Monique had regular contact. Eventually, they will discover one person who has a motive and who does not have an alibi. If the perpetrator was a stranger, this case will be very challenging to solve and leads to the fear of the killer striking again. For now, this case sits at the intersection of evidence, human emotion, and unanswered questions, waiting for one detail to bring clarity. Those are my thoughts on the case of Spencer and Monique Tepe. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.